call your mommy, your daddy, and all your friends and tell them New York's number one podcast app is blowing up the airwaves and they can't do nothing about it. Bashani Radio app. We global, baby.
Yeah, baby!
Download free for iPhone and Android in the App Store.
Profanity Nation.
Yeah, it's the new era of man for some old school fans with a new school brand. We got money on the mic with the plan in hand. And Stat Pat to his left, they go hand in hand. And to the right, we got Simpster, he putting it down. It's the Profanity Nation, we running the town. Yeah,
it's the Profanity Nation.
Profanity Nation.
Profanity Nation. Welcome to the Profanity Nation podcast, where professional players deserve professional fans. Of course, as always, joined by Money Mike, Stat Pat, and we have a special guest tonight, Michael the PG. Excellent guest. We've been waiting to get you on for a while. We're so happy to have you on here, Michael. How you doing?
Man, doing pretty good, man. Just trying to stay sane. No sports, no basketball. I'm crushed right now, so just trying to stay sane, man, as best as I can.
Keeping busy with your podcast, just like us, and talking and chatting, right?
No, I've always, man. The grind never stops. Mama mentality, for real. So I can't stop until, you know, I'm 6 feet under. That's my slogan. So the grind never ends.
You're making some waves, too. I saw. Did you just have a special guest, or you just had a podcast with a couple special guests? Is that right?
No, yeah. So my show, Don't At Me, with my guy Alex. We just had the Odd Couple, Rob Parker and Chris Broussard, on our latest episode. And it's pretty dope, man. Been knowing those guys for probably a couple years, and they've been very helpful. And I just learned so much from them. And to get them both on the show at the same time has always been tough, but I was able to do it, and it was a great episode.
Nice.
That's great. You know, we're always interested whenever you have a guest on that's a peer that does podcasts and stuff. We're always interested how you got started and how you developed your love of sports and, of course, podcasting eventually. Where did you get started in this, and how did it get going?
So, man, I've always been a huge sports fan growing up. And then I just always just like following numbers, sports video games. So when I was younger, like my uncle would always be like, come here, Michael, talk to my older relatives about the Lakers stats and what Cedric Ceballos is averaging in points. What is Sadell Three is averaging in assists and just different things like that. And it just carried over. You know, I played sports growing up. And so I went to college, Cal State Long Beach, where I studied broadcast journalism. And I interned at KTLA for a minute and learned so much there. I was so lucky to be a part of the KTLA during the Lakers' last championship run.
Oh, wow.
2010. So I was, you know, in the locker room learning firsthand, like interviewing Bynum, Kobe, Gasol, Odom, and those guys, and just having a passion for it. I just really didn't know how to attack the game. Because it's like, man, how are these people getting straight to TV? And, man, luckily my guy Keith, he had his show, which he turned it into an entire network, the Good News Radio. And he was just like, hey, man, like if you want to start a basketball show, like come through here. And Courtside Radio have been going on nearly 3 years. My show Don't At Me, we've been about a year and a half, like nearly 40 episodes. And just, man, like I said before, just never stopping to grind and just trying to be one of the best in the game. And that's my end goal, is to be one of the names that, you know, like I can't make the Hall of Fame playing basketball, but I can make the Journalist Hall of Fame. And that's what I'm reaching for, man.
That's dope.
That's sweet. Go ahead, Pat. You got any questions for Michael?
No, I would just one thing. I just like the format, the way you guys did it. I know you're the PG, the point guard of the crew. You have a whole starting five. Who the board is?
Yeah. So with Courtside Radio, we're the starting five. You know, like Jackson Five or the starting five. So it's me, Michael, the point guard. We got my guy Inglewood, Mike, the shooting guard. We got my guy Alex Himes. He's the small forward. We call him the Larry Bird of the show because it's four black guys and he's the one token white guy with us. Then we got one. Then we got our stretch four, my guy Phillip from Atlanta, and then our center Bruce, who always kicks the show off kind of like a jump ball. So yeah, we're starting five, man, and we've been at it for a good minute now, just continue to grow show by show.
Of course, the center name will be Bruce, right? Like, it just sounds like a center name.
Yeah, so it's perfect. You know, he's like one of the tallest guys. So it's like, man, you're the center, and that's how we do it.
Awesome.
What are some of the topics that you guys talk about? Is it mainly sports?
Yeah, so we like to, with Courtside Radio is basketball. We like to do basketball, but like just the culture period, like hip-hop, like different things like that. Like we did a live show one time in Inglewood where we picked our top five rappers. Another episode we did the top five diss records in hip-hop and things like that, like anything that's hot in the culture, whether it's political, entertainment, or maybe if it's a weird basketball show. But, you know, I'm a huge Kansas City Chiefs fan, and we are the best team in the NFL right now. So I got to talk my smack with Pat Mahomes being there. And, you know, we talk that. So, and Don't At Me is kind of the same mode. It's more of all sports with me and Alex. But then we also hit on hot topics. And we try to get different guests on, whether they're athletes, journalists, reporters, or even like rappers that we try to get on to just bring everything together involved into the culture.
Yeah, you guys have a great source. Everyone should definitely follow at Mikel, the PG, and of course, Courtside Radio and the Good News Radio app, right?
Yeah, make sure you download that thing, man, so you can listen to. We have over 17 shows on there. We have our talk station where you can listen to like different talk shows. And then we have our sports where you can get your basketball, football, and all, you know, soccer, baseball, all your fixes there.
Well, we all work hard and we talk about sports. And of course, we haven't had a lot of sports to talk about. However, it does look like there's some light at the end of the tunnel here, guys. It does look like there's going to be some sports. Let's get to that because I can't wait. We are hearing rumors and rumblings that the NBA may restart sometime in July, at the end of July, and that they may play their games at Walt Disney World in Florida. I don't care where they play them. Just play them. I don't need to be there. I'll watch it on TV. That is fine. I just want to watch the games. You know, but there are two sides to this story. Some people don't think the season should continue, and others do. Where do you fall on that, Mikel?
Man, as long as the players are going to be safe, because, you know, they're more than just athletes or human beings. So I know we want to be entertained watch them play ball. But as long as they can be safe and it's their job, you know, like you see a lot of people starting to go back to work now and these guys get paid millions of dollars to play a game. So if it's safe for them to be there, you know, they should come out there and represent for their teams. And we need it, us fans, we need it. We got shows, so we need new stuff to talk about. I'm tired of talking about old school basketball, you know what I'm saying? So, man, if these guys are going to be in a safe environment, let's see them play, because we need to see a champion. I feel my Lakers, it was their year, and I just hope that it didn't haunt it. But yeah, so man, I'm hoping that they can come back, because we need to put a new banner up there in the Staples, man.
Now we officially have a bet with Clipper Darryl, so you know.
Yeah, we gotta win that now.
Like, yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's more of an incentive for number one, is he just to start back, and also for us to that bet with Clipper Dale, you know, because
I got a bet with him too. The bet was whichever team go further. If the Lakers go further, he has to wear an entire Laker outfit, and if the Clippers go further, I have to wear an entire Clippers outfit, which would probably burn my skin. But you know, I would try to honor my bet.
Hey, well, we got him driving. He talking about he got a brand new, you know, Clipper car, and he said he's gonna drive around with dust in it in the Laker uniform, saying "My bad, my mistake."
With a speakerphone,
with the megaphone. He got the megaphone.
Like, oh, I love it.
We're gonna get our money first.
Yeah, so Mikel BG, we may have to double team this cat.
Man, we were happy.
That brings up a great point, though. You know, we've been doing a lot of talk about the NBA getting going again, and of course, you know, we're heavily Lakers favored here, just as fans. But you know, we are fans of sports and NBA. Everyone has a different opinion, but you know, I'm of the sense that the break in play actually doesn't help or hurt the Lakers against each other. Basically, you know, that offsets each other. However, if you go into next season and you're talking about that, then this definitely hurts the Lakers because LeBron's getting older, and actually helps the Clippers because I feel like a side story is the Clippers themselves have their two all-stars that only signed for 2 years. If this year is like this, it's unfinished business for them, gives them a reason to come back no matter what happens. The Lakers are on a ticking time, you know, with LeBron, and there's nothing that's going to turn that back. So that's my thought. What's your thought on it? Did this layoff help the Lakers, hurt the Lakers and the Clippers? What do you think?
Man, the Lakers were playing so well. They were able to beat Milwaukee at home. They were able to beat the Clippers, that I don't think that it's going to hurt them too much. But when you're playing that well of basketball, and you know, the team was just so tight knit together that, you know, the break can do nothing but kind of halt that because they were playing so well, and you want to keep playing, you want to play through that and, you know, keep the guys together. But now, like, this break is going to slightly hurt them, I believe. But when you have LeBron James, Anthony Davis, two top five NBA players, that they're going to find a way to get it back together. I think that it actually helps the Clippers because they were struggling. You kind of heard some rumblings that it was kind of like with Montrez, that some, you know, some stuff was going on, that now they got this break, they can kind of refocus. Doc Rivers being a veteran coach and kind of say, all right, guys, we're going to be back at it. Now Kawhi doesn't have to sit out games, you know what I'm saying? So he doesn't have to kick back. He's like, you're going to play these final five games and we're right into the playoffs. So I think that it actually helps the Clippers, but I think the Lakers are going to be all right because you have these top-notch guys in LeBron and AD. LeBron knows I don't have long and I have to win with the Lakers or my legacy is tarnished. It doesn't look bad. So he's going to make sure all his guys are ready to go right away because he can't take any L's right now. Like, you never know. Father Time is undefeated. You never know what's going to happen next year when it comes to his body. So if he gets a chance to get one, he has to get it right away.
You know,
Go ahead, Mike. I mean, it's your favorite topic. I mean, what do you have to say though? LeBron James.
You know what? What do you have to say about that? Look, everybody knows. I'm not the biggest LeBron fan, but he's on our team, and I want to win the championship. So I'll take it. I honestly don't think that it will help or hurt his legacy because I think at the end of the day, you know, he's that player that kind of helps everybody, you know, be in a position to make the playoffs, you know, but at the end of the day, it's not going to be him to take that final shot. So, and that's always been my argument with LeBron. So thank you for being part of the team, LeBron. Thank you for, you know, you go get a ring. You know, for being there, you know, and I appreciate that, and I believe that that.
Well, I would say that I think that the layoff actually does help the Lakers as well as the Clippers. I mean, we were talking about, you know, a load management with the Clippers, and at the same time, you know, they were saying how that the load management would help the Clippers because they're having their eye on the prize, and whereas the Lakers were going, you know, pretty much foot to the pedal and not taking those days off. Well, this gave them a whole little break. So the whole battery can all their body can recharge and they can go ahead and get a couple of games where they can work out the kinks and then hit the ground running. I think so. Where you were saying before make a lot of sense about, because I don't think it's going to affect this year, but next year is when they have that shortened season. Or I don't know. I mean, I heard rumblings that they might push the whole season back into December. And have the round December is when they're going to start the season. or they might want to still have the whole, like, you know, the June being the culmination of the season with the finals. They might want to keep that. If they do that, then it's going to be a shortened season, and then it's going to be like it was in a lockout 99, where you start seeing not just back-to-backs. They had games, they had stretches where they were playing three games in a row.
Yeah.
And if you are saying, I mean, if people are saying, like, you know, low management, I'm going to tell you right now, people are not going to play the second game. It's going to be like a collection of people and to play the game. And then if it's three in a row, then I'll probably play the bookends. But no one is going to put themselves in the middle and play with all three games. And so that's why I think it will probably hurt us next year. But then there's also going to be, we talked about it on the show before, like there's going to be other teams that are going to be stronger. You know, there's going to be, you know, Golden State is going to come back hard. New Jersey, we don't know how that's going to work. But if Kyrie is Kyrie and KD is KD, they're going to be a problem in the East. So it's going to be, you know, a lot of different ways. But I think this year, this might help us. And if we do, and like you said, the hunger and trying to win one, I don't know about, would it kill his legacy? But I can tell you right now, there's a lot of Laker fans, me included, has that wait and see moment. Like, we're looking at him like, look, man, you did all that what you did over there. You hear that we're not the franchise to be starstruck. Like, we've won championships, so we know what that looks like.
Yeah.
You have to go ahead and see if you fit into this culture, not vice
versa. I just feel that LeBron doesn't want to – he doesn't want to be that superstar who's never won in L.A., you know? Like, Kareem, you know, got his in L.A. Magic. Shaq came over, got his in L.A. You had Kobe. So he doesn't want to be – like, the last guy to not win was Elgin Baylor, but that's so long ago, and he actually got one. He just wasn't on the court. So if LeBron comes to L.A., you know, us Laker fans are some of the – like, we're all over the country, all over the world because of the greats we had. And if he doesn't get one with us, it's not going to look good. It's like you came to the West, you couldn't win a championship. You even had, you know, kind of – you had rest before the playoffs. So it's like, hey, there's no excuse at this point. You know, there's no excuse because we've been waiting. Like, it's been 10 years. So, and then it's the added pressure with, you know, Kobe Bryant passing away. Yeah. That we're like, hey, you bring us a championship, we put you – especially if they're going to somehow put him in the rafters, he better have a championship with that.
Oh, he can't go. He can't get up there. He really can't get up there without it. No. There's no way in the world
he can get up there. No, but see, you know what, though? No way. His resume is not long enough to get in the rafters. I mean, unless he goes and does three in a row or something like that.
Hey,
I mean,
technically a Hall of Fame.
He can go back-to-back, though.
It's LeBron.
But see, here's the thing, PG. See, I mean, you hit the nail right on the head, right? So it's one thing for you to win a championship in the NBA, in the league. It's another thing for you to win the championship if you're the Lakers or the Celtics, right? I mean, because when you come over to us, you are expected to win, and you're expected to be that champion. You know, you know, he was regarded in Cleveland because Cleveland loved him because Cleveland never won anything. So, oh my God, you're the savior. You know, we won over here. He revitalized Miami, you know, because they were able to win, but over here we won. We know what it feels like. So we just want you to do what has been happening historically. I mean,
the expectation. It's kind of like, it's kind of like playing for the Yankees. Like if you're a star baseball player, if you're Mike Trout, you know, playing for the Angels, it's like playing for the Cavaliers. Like, you just having great seasons, the fans are going to love you and want to watch you. But he go and play for the Yankees, it's like, okay, now we expect you to win in the playoffs, because that's the expectation created by Jerry West, Will Chamberlain, Magic, Kareem, Shaq, and Kobe.
Yeah, so I'm gonna add to that point, man. One of my hobbies I literally just picked up maybe about the last two or three weeks is sports cars. And I've been looking at the, you know, how the revenue and stuff goes. And there's this guy, there's this Dominican Republic player that got drafted number one by the Yankees. He's 17 years old. His name is Jason Dominguez. He's never played minor league but baseball. In the States for the Yankees. Never played minor league. You go on eBay right now, his rookie card is $150. Never hit a ball in the minor leagues yet. But because he has a Yankees uniform on, I mean, granted his you know stats, and they think he's like the next Mike Trout, like he's above average and everything, so they know he's gonna be super. But he's never hit a ball in minor league, and his sports card, that piece of paper, is $150. So it means a whole lot. If you bring it back to the NBA, how would Paul Pierce have been revered if he wasn't with the Celtics? If he was on any other team, he would have been probably, quote-unquote, in a GOAT conversation. But he can't be the GOAT conversation because you got Maravich and Bird and Russell. And, you know,
Hey, Mike, Paul Pierce is my guy. I don't think he's ever in anybody's GOAT conversation.
Yeah, right? but when I said it, my point is, if he had won a championship with another team, I think he would have been revered a lot higher than he is now. That's my point. Mm-hmm. That's the point I'm trying to make. It's just the fact now, you know, I think that's the same thing that we have with Kobe. You know, Kobe is compared to so many greats, you know, with L.A. You know, Paul Pierce is compared to so many greats, and he doesn't add up to any of them. That's my point.
Well, one thing about when you just said and you brought up Kobe, the difference, or I would say I would say one of the main things about Kobe is that Kobe came to this Laker franchise, you know, having the thought of trying to be great. And at the end of his 20 years, he knew the legacy that was in front of him. He knew he studied, you know, Magic, West, Elgin Baylor, Kareem, Worthy. He knows all of them. Mm-hmm. And he was able to get in and able to be the greatest Laker of all time, knowing that he had that legacy in front of him, and he worked and worked and worked. And not only was he just somebody that won championship for the Lakers, he's been considered by many as probably the best Laker to put on him. And that's saying a lot. And that's not hyperbole. I mean, really, he got the stats and he got the accomplishment to put himself there as being the greatest Laker of all time. Now, I mean, now when you have somebody coming into that, you know, we always had this saying, it's something about that purple and gold. It's the same thing about those pinstripes. I mean, when I say about that, it just, you either rise to the occasion or you succumb to it. And that's what I believe. When sometimes you come to LA and you do not understand what it is to be a Los Angeles Laker because of the fact that, I mean, and I'm talking this as a podcast, but I don't know what it means to be a Los Angeles Laker. But however, I'm just saying, you know, with those guys playing, you know, it's they come there and they thinking it's all palm trees and everything, and we're gonna go to the club and all that stuff, and they get there and fools will be literally like, dude, you got to win that championship or you ain't nothing. Like, I mean, this dude came here and he had murals and everybody was trying to anoint him, and the city let you know exactly the temperature. They came out there and started defaming a lot of, you know, the faces, you know, a lot of those pretty much those murals. So it's interesting. I think LeBron is a wait and see. If he wins one, I think everyone's going to melt and everybody's going to be on his bandwagon. I mean, literally, you just win a championship. Win a championship, show you that you belong. And then, you know, we'll all put all that you versus Kobe thing aside, because basically that's why I think a lot of us Laker fans are sore, because he's just been elevated over Kobe. And so we see what Kobe did. It's like, now you got to do what Kobe did.
Yeah, you can't judge until the story's done. But that brings up a great point. You know, you're trying to judge greatness. So I'm really curious, guys. Okay, I'm sure, Michael, I'm sure you watched The Last Dance. Did you catch all the episodes?
Of course.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm curious. Did your opinion of Jordan's greatness change after watching The Last Dance? Because we know we're hearing a lot of slack from the other players. We're calling it the lost episode number 11. There's so much drama going around right now about Last Dance. But did that change your opinion of Jordan at all? Or did it just solidify it more? Or, you know, what do you think?
No, I just think that it just solidified it for me. Like growing up, I didn't really remember Jordan run until the second run when he played Seattle first, when they went 72-10, then the two series versus Utah. And then, of course, him coming back playing with the Wizards. But you already knew how great, you know, he was. He had all the stats, all the numbers. And it just showed you, it just introduced to you, like, if you didn't know how dominant he really was. Like, think about it today. If a rookie came into the NBA and averaged 28 points, was the third leading scorer in the league, and was an all-NBA player as a rookie, do you know how much praise that guy would get? And Jordan was coming into a league which was, you know, he was like 20, 21 in the league that was more like grown men, and he just came in and dominated from the jump, you know, and once he got his team right, it was like all winning from there, and it just solidified, like, this guy is the greatest basketball player. No matter who you try to compare to him, there's no one who really can come close. Like, I always tell people that Kobe is the closest thing we'll get to Jordan, and he probably did a lot of Jordan things against better athletes, but Jordan has all the accolades to back it up. Like, 6 championships, 6 finals MVPs, 5 MVPs. It's like, how can you top that? And the guy went to play baseball. When you can go and gamble all your money away and lose and come back and still beat guys in the Eastern Conference Finals, that proves to you that you are the best player to ever play. And it just solidified it for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I agree. I mean, I never was a Jordan fan, but there were so many things, especially, I believe it was episode 8, you know, everything that he was doing as far as his work ethic and him pushing the guys. I was just looking. I was like, I'm looking at Kobe. I love that episode because I was looking at what Kobe was. I know that Kobe was so, you know, he looked at every intricate part to try to get every advantage, you know. So the things that he was doing, even when they were at Warner Brothers and he invited everybody to come play with him, you know, they were like, hey, this is cool. You know, we get to play at Warner Brothers. This dude's over there scouting to see how everybody play and how they do their moves. These are things that Kobe was doing. So, you know, I got more insight about Kobe by watching Jordan in this documentary. So that's why I loved it.
You know, it's funny, like, you know, the fact that Kobe was studying in Jordan, but Kobe didn't really have the amount of footage as, say, somebody would want to go ahead and study Kobe. You know what I'm saying? Like, even though there was footage of Jordan, I grew up in the era when, you know, I remember the Sky Jordans. You know, like, everybody, bro, I was Air Jordan. Man, this thing was Sky Jordans, man. Little kid had Sky Jordans, man. You don't know the Sky Jordans. What are we talking about, man? You know, let's talk, you know, like, let me see where you're at right now. You know what I'm saying? But it's like, when I see Jordan, it's funny that this is hearing the social media, you know, at least critique this documentary so, like, you know, harshly, because it's like, it's now the new age of, I think, basketball fan, the younger ones, the 20-something, the 19-year-olds are looking at this, and they know this is not like messing. This, like, that his attitude, the way he approached the game, doesn't work for today's athlete. These athletes,
they don't know nothing about no Bob Knight.
No, they don't want to do any of that. No, hell,
they don't even know Coach the hell or nothing about that guy.
Right, those kids would have ratted Bob Knight from the jump. He wouldn't even be able to go in there and throw that. Like, dude, what are you doing for real? You throw it, man. Yeah. Come on, dude, seriously. So when you hear that, and then you hear people, like, you know, basically are like saying, like, you know, well, Jordan was too harsh on him, and, you know, he need to be more uplifting. I'm like, look, man. At this point in time, the end justifying the means. The fool actually had 6 championships. All those cats that are talking crap right now got rings on their finger because of the work ethic that Jordan instilled in them. So they can go ahead and cry all they want right now, as far as I'm concerned. But
to Pat's point, if you notice, you know, you saw B.J. Armstrong when he was on another team. You saw Horace Grant when he was on another team. You see how excited they were to be able to beat him because they've been through that Lions den. They knew what was in there, and the fact that they was able to take that one game and be like, ah, I got him, simply because they knew they've been inside there. That one game or that one series in Horace Grant's case, it meant so much for them to beat him because they went around it. But getting back to, like, we're calling it the lost episode, episode 11. I think all this drama, man, is crazy because, I look at the end of the day, rather, I don't really care personally if Horace Grant told, I don't care if Horace Grant told Sam or didn't tell Sam. You know, it to me, that doesn't matter. At the end of the day, we heard it from Michael Jordan's perspective. And Michael Jordan's perspective is not going to change. And if he and Michael Jordan ain't gonna believe him. If he said, look, man, unless somebody come and tell him, hey Mike, it really wasn't Horace, it was me. Jordan is going to really believe what happened. So, true. You know, I don't understand why they're like, you're a liar and all that stuff. Come on, man. That, to me, all that stuff is childish because from Michael Jordan's perspective, that's what he believes happened. And he just need to let it go at that, man. Not even.
Yeah. It's not over even, and done. His career is done. Like, no need to bicker and argue. Like they had said, Scottie Pippen is mad about the way he was in the movie. It's like, you know who you are, so it's like, what's the big deal? You should be happy that people are still talking about the Bulls because that's been, you know, it's been so long ago that, you know, it was just to remind people that you were a good player. You know, I know he was probably upset that, you know, people were reminded of the incident with the timeout and Kukoc, but it happened. It's a part of your career. You're a Hall of Famer. You got 6 rings. Let it go and just move forward.
You know, I mean, it was before we go to the next topic, I did want to say one thing about, like, what you were saying, Mike, about how B.J. Armstrong and Horace Grant were happy that they actually finally got one over on Jordan. But you know what the cool thing about Jordan is? You know, the cool thing about Jordan is the fact that they got that one win. And he saw that. And the Bulls ain't ate since that game. They ain't since. He took all the money, all the cookies, everything. He took it all. And that's why they hate him. Because they know when it get thick and they have to really beat that man, they can't beat that man. And none of them could beat that man. And they can talk all they want because now we're here retired. But when they had teams, when you had Penny Hardaway and you had Shaq and you had Nick Anderson and you had D. Scott, and you had all those cats, you still didn't get it done. And not to mention, what you call it, had Mourning, Grandma Ma, Dale Curry, Bugsy Bowles. I mean, come on. They had squads. So it was like you had squads, and you couldn't get it done. That's why they don't like Jordan.
Well, you know, and
that save wasn't loud enough.
To go on that, see, and that's why I really, really hate this whole GOAT conversation and you put our boy LeBron in it because there are only a few players that could decide, okay, on this game, you ain't gonna be able to stop me. Kobe could do that, Jordan could do that, Bird could do that. You know what I mean? Bird walked in and what's his name said, hey, I want to see who's gonna come in second place in a 3-point, you know, bands. You know, this dude's over there shooting, he walked away with one finger, didn't even look at the shot. You know, there's a special type of player that's able to pick a game and say, no, I'm not gonna have a bad night tonight, and it's gonna be bad for them, you know, and so that's what. To me, the definition of the GOAT should be is when you pick a game where you're going to be great. You know, the story, you heard the story when Jordan told Kobe that, yeah, you could be in my shoes, but you can't wear them. Kobe had talked to him for 2 weeks and then and waited till he wanted to see him again. Nobody knew what was happening. And then they were like, oh, Jordan said that to him, and then he dropped 55 on him. And that's time he saw him. You know what I mean? To me, that is the definition of a GOAT when you could pick a game that you're going to be great. You know, go ahead.
No, what made Jordan so special was just the fact that, like, you see LeBron, when you think of the East in the 2010, you think of LeBron. He pretty much won it every year. He was that guy. When you think of the 90s, it was Jordan winning the championship. So he was the guy of the league. LeBron was the guy of the East. You know what I'm saying? So the fact that nobody ate when Jordan was playing. Like, no, only time the Rockets were able to win or the Spurs won in the 90s, Jordan wasn't there. But when he was there at the peak of his powers, nobody else won, and he controlled the league. And that's why, you know, I consider him the greatest of all time.
Mm-hmm. I don't disagree. Yeah. You know, the NBA family lost another legend and actually former Bull and coach, Jerry Sloan, former coach of the Utah Jazz that played up against Jordan, of course, passed away. And, you know, we pass on our condolences to his family and friends. Definitely a legend, and he'll be missed. He was a great coach. Those are the playoff series that I remember seeing him screaming and yelling against Jordan back in the day. That was great. Yeah, he's a great coach. Well, guys, yeah. This has been great. Michael, be sure to tell everyone where they can find you and get all the information one more time.
All right, man. So you guys can find me at Michael the PG on Instagram and Twitter, Facebook, Michael Matthew, M-A-T-H-I-E-U. Check out my show page, Courtside Radio. Make sure you guys check out the Good News Radio, TGN Sports. You can find my show, Don't At Me, on YouTube. It's under my co-host, Alexander Himes. And yeah, man, like I said, I love doing this. It's my true passion. I want to be one of the best to ever do this. So, man, the work never stops.
All right. Well, as you know, there is no basketball going on right now, but in general, we're really G League centric, and we like to talk about the G League. So we're having a little fun starting since the Last Dance episode's finished, and we're doing a player profile where we're going to go ahead and we're going to show a picture on screen here. So anyone listening to the podcast is definitely going to want to go to YouTube or Instagram to see the screen and see if you can guess this player. Money Mike's going to go ahead and run down some stats, and I'm going to display a picture here. And we're going to see if anyone can guess this player, and we'll go from there. And if not, be sure to follow our Instagram to get information. Go ahead, Money.
Yeah, so the first thing I'm going to give you guys that this is a G League player, so that narrows it down a little bit for you. this player went to Gonzaga. He went undrafted in 2014. He joined the Reno Bighorns in 15 and became all-rookie second team. He played for the Sacramento Kings and Utah for a short time, and he's currently on the South Bay Lakers, averaging 15 points, 6.9 assists, and 85% in free throws. Who is this player?
Here's the picture, guys. All right, so if anyone can get it, you can go ahead and shoot this on Instagram. You guys got any thoughts?
What? Who? What? You said one thing, it was like a Jeopardy. It was like trying to go ahead and buzz in.
You're not gonna buzz in.
I'll show the picture one more time. Here's the picture. So to anyone who wants to see this picture, see if you can guess who this player is, be sure to find us on Instagram and or YouTube, that's for sure. We will release the picture and the answer later this week on Instagram as well, so you definitely want to follow us there. All right, guys, this was a great show, another great week. It looks like we're getting to the end of this quarantine stay-at-home order. There's light at the end of the tunnel. Basketball and sports look like they're coming back at least to one degree or another, and that's a great time. That's a great thing. Any closing words, guys? Go ahead. Step Pat.
Man, I just can't wait for the games to come back. I am kind of – I think it's funny, though, that we say in Disney World, but you know it's ESPN. I mean, it's Disney, but ESPN somehow got exclusive rights. The NBA. I mean, I'm just putting that out there, but that's exactly what they did. But it's Disney World. Cool, I get it. But
that's how they're able to make money and save money at the same time, right? Hey. You know what? But to be honest with you, though, like we were talking about it on a couple of episodes ago. You know, I think it actually is a great idea because they have the facility where they have the courts and they have where they can keep everybody there. And I said it a couple of weeks ago. They've been hanging out with their family for 2 months. So now they may just have to just hang out at Disney World for 2 months to finish the season. There shouldn't be no problem with that. Look at it like a training camp, you know.
The rides better be open for them kids, though. They better not no rides better be open. I mean, imagine being a kid.
No family. This is business. We trying to finish the season off.
Hey, exactly. Come here. I'm just waiting to see a Clippers-Lakers Western Conference Final, man. That's what I need to see.
Yeah, 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 that's what we need. So we all could make Cooper Dale pay off.
Man.
Excellent. Okay, guys, again, thanks for following us. Another great broadcast and podcast, guys. Thank you, Michael the PG, for joining us. We'll have you back again soon. It was great. To everybody else, yeah, there's Money Mike. To everybody else, be sure to follow us on Instagram. You know where to find us. Thanks.
Lakers. Wash your hands.
Please, guys. Follow us on Instagram at the Profanity Nation to keep up on LA sports and breaking news. And check in online at theprofanitynation.com. Thank you.
The all-new Bashani Radio app for iPhone and Android. You may be in quarantine, but you are not home alone.